Hey, it's Becca.
It's Nancy.
It's Brixie.
And this is
Insane Investigations.
Hey, investigators.
Welcome back. I know it's been a bit of time since our last upload, but with Christmas and everything we explained in the last episode, illnesses, injuries, all the rest.
All around Brixie. It's my fault, guys. Sorry.
To be fair, my schedule is quite all over the place with work as well, so it's hard to find a day where the three of us are all able to meet up and successfully record a full episode. But we're back, and this year we promise we're going to try to be more consistent. We're going to try have a lot more stuff up on Patreon, and
we've already got more stuff happening on Instagram. If you haven't seen it already, I got gifted a Year of True Crime calendar, so I'm posting that up every day now. So yeah, just a little tidbit of true crime each day on our Instagram.
Yeah, and let us know anything that you find interesting. Maybe we could do full episodes on some of the cases that are in there. So definitely have a look on Instagram. There's one up every day, so yep. Have a look. So the case that we're doing today was supposed to be done before Christmas. It was kind of planned as like a Christmas episode because it happened around Christmas time. But we decided that we're going to go ahead and do the episode anyways. A, the research is already done and ready, but also it's not only Christmas related. It is quite an interesting case. So we are going to be covering the disappearance and murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
So before we jump into the case and the events that led up to the murder, you should probably know who the Ramsey family were. And we're going to start with JonBenet's father, John. John Bennett Ramsey was born on 7th of December 1943 in Nebraska to Mary Jane Ramsey, whose maiden name was Bennett, and James Dudley Ramsey, aka Jay. John grew up in Nebraska until the family moved to Michigan when he was around 11 or 12 years old. And throughout school, John was interested in electrical engineering and ended up studying it in Michigan University, where he met his first wife, Lucinda Pash. The couple married in 1966, the same year John joined the Navy and served for 3 years in the Philippines as a civil engineer corps officer. After moving to Michigan, John had a massive interest in electrical engineering. When he returned to the States, he moved to Atlanta to continue his service in the Navy in the Atlanta Reserve Unit for an additional 8 years. Over the course of their 12-year marriage, John and Lucinda had 3 children, Elizabeth, Melinda — I love the name Melinda, it's such a cute name — and John Andrew, before divorcing in 1978.
Patsy Ann Pugh was born on the 29th of December 1956 in Parkersburg, West Virginia, to engineer Donald Ray Pugh and Nedra Ellen Pugh, formerly Nedra Ellen Ann. Patsy was the first of 3 daughters Nedra and Donald conceived. Pamela and Paulette were born later on. Patsy was a very smart girl. She excelled in school and was particularly gifted when it came to debating at the local high school. She was known in Parkersburg as a charitable girl, and she volunteered a lot in the community. After school, Patsy chose to study journalism, and while studying in her first year of university, she entered and won the Miss West Virginia beauty pageant to her mother's delight. Throughout university, she participated in beauty pageants until she took part in Miss America. Unfortunately, she didn't win this one. However, Patsy didn't seem as upset as her mother Nedra was at the loss of the pageant. That's not a surprise. It's usually the mothers pushing these things.
Yeah.
And that was the end of Patsy's career in beauty pageants.
After graduating, Patsy moved to Atlanta, where John Ramsey had been living, and the pair met when John was newly divorced. But by 1980, they had fallen in love and gotten married. Now that John was no longer in the Navy, he decided to put his engineering education to good use and started a computer company called Advanced Product Group that he ran out of his garage, or garage, if you're American. On January 27th, 1987, Patsy and John had their first child together, Burke Ramsey. Burke was Patsy's first child, but John's fourth. As John's company grew, he merged with two other companies and formed Access Graphics. After the merger, the company became really successful and made over $1 billion. Ramsey was named Entrepreneur of the Year by the Boulder Chamber of Commerce, and the Ramsey family became multimillionaires after John sold Access Graphics to Lockheed Martin. John continued to work with the company, although he didn't really need to. On August 6, 1990, the Ramsey family welcomed JonBenet Ramsey into the world. JonBenet Ramsey was described as outgoing and loved being the center of attention, which was probably good because her mother doted on her, and having been a former beauty queen, naturally that's what she wanted to do with JonBenet.
Literally what Bracey was saying a second ago. It's usually the parents.
Yeah, they push it.
Yeah.
By 1996, JonBenet Ramsey had won America's Royal Tiny Miss and Colorado's Little Miss Christmas. So she was a pretty successful 6-year-old.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Already won more than I ever did in my whole life.
Yeah. Apparently she was doing glamour shots though, and I don't know how true that is, but that's pretty gross.
But like, what do we mean by glamour shots? Like, inappropriate?
Apparently.
Or just, like...
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, God.
I find, like, the little kids in the beauty pageants, all the makeup and the clothes they wear just come across as very grown up.
Yeah.
It's a bit uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable.
Like, the whole toddlers and tiaras thing.
Yeah, like, I get it, it's supposed to be harmless, but sometimes, I don't know, when I see some of those men judging and stuff, I'm like, how harmless is it really?
Why is a man judging
a little girl with her makeup and a tutu and...
It's a bit creepy.
Dress,
like... Blowing kisses and...
Posing and...
Yeah, I never really got it.
It is kind of uncomfortable, like, if you think about it that way.
Patsy was an adult. She was in university when she did pageants. More of a choice.
Like, there's nothing wrong with pageantry at all. Like, God, no. I just don't know if
little kids should be getting so dolled up and kind of pranced.
Like, I've watched Toddlers and Tiaras. Yeah. It's a great show. It's entertainment value 10 out of 10. Yeah. But I just don't know if I was a mother, would I be willing to put my kid through that? Because a lot of the time, even in Toddlers and Tiaras, especially some of the kids, like, I knew from watching Here Comes Honey Boo Boo back in the day,
yeah,
right, that toddlers did that stuff. But when I was watching Toddlers and Tiaras, like, there was an age thing of babies, 6-month-year-olds.
Yeah.
6-month-year-old babies.
Babies.
Yeah. Why is a baby in a pageant?
They just shouldn't be. It's just not.
Like, that's full on the parent profiting off their
and
kid.
Like, also, like, what is that teaching the kids? It's like, oh, looks will get you everywhere, but if you're not, like, pretty enough, then screw you, I guess. Like, as if we don't have enough of an image issue, exactly. Like, as women, like...
As is. Just as from society.
You should be... They should be able... It should only be allowed for kids that are old enough to say, yes, I want to do this.
Exactly. Because that's what a lot of them, like, you could literally see the kids... Oh my God, and her, like, look, some of it I was like, this is too much. They were giving their kids, like, bringing them the big giant Starbuckses, like the venti,
Them
their frappuccinos, like a child, with coffee, to keep them awake, and Red Bulls and shit.
Yeah.
Like, why is a child drinking Red Bull?
Yeah.
Just to keep them awake and all, because they had, obviously, like, it'd be a whole day. Like, there is a lot involved in it, so I can only imagine, like, it's exhausting.
That's why they shouldn't be doing it.
Look where that got Judy Garland on uppers when she was awake, and then pills to make her sleep, and then she got addicted to drugs, and, you know, that poor woman. Do you know who Judy Garland is?
Yeah, okay. One from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes. I just had to check. I was like,
double check, yeah.
I don't know anything else about her, far enough.
Yeah, she was addicted to drugs because she got into movies at a young age, and they were, like, literally giving her pills to keep her awake, pills to put her to sleep.
Remember, who was it? Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
Was fucking coked off her head when she was filming Camp Rock.
Yeah.
For the Disney Channel.
For the Disney Channel.
The bitch came out going, oh yeah, we were all sorts of drugs. And even, I think, Nickelodeon stars as well came out and were saying that they were literally being given all types of shit backstage and all to keeping, they were being invited to parties now and they were literally like young teens.
Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes, they all went
downhill.
Like there's a pattern here and there's a pattern for a fucking reason.
When you're a kid, you look at it and you think, wow, they must have a great life. But when you get older, you're like, fuck, thank God that wasn't me.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think it's safe to say that the family lived quite a comfortable life in the lead up to Christmas of 1996. They were living in Boulder, Colorado, and the kids were attending High Peaks Elementary School, which I don't know if that's fancy, but it definitely sounds it.
So the Ramseys spent Christmas Day just like any other family, opening gifts, playing games, and in the evening they attended a family friend's home for a Christmas Day party. By the time the family returned home, JonBenet was already asleep. Her parents carried her into bed, made sure Bert got to bed, and went to sleep themselves after an exhausting day. Patty Ramsey woke up at around 5:30 a.m. on December 26, 1996 to prepare for a trip the family was taking. However, she ended up waking to find every parent's worst nightmare. Her daughter was gone. Sitting on the staircase was a lengthy ransom note demanding $118,000. Which is like such a random
ass.
Very specific, yeah, very weird, strange amount to go for their daughter's safe return. The letter details that they should not call the police. However, by 5:55 a.m. the police had arrived at the home, finding no signs of forced entry. Police, friends and family all gathered at the Ramsey home to try and find their missing 6-year-old daughter.
The letter read, "Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed. If you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size attache to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation from my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found...
Let me guess.
She dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions, and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Victory. S-B-T. C.
The length of that.
S-B-T-C-C-C-C.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Who the fuck has the time to write that? I'm sorry.
That's a fucking essay.
That is, yeah. That is literally something you'd submit to, like, your bleeding English teacher in school. Yeah. Like, what even is that?
And investigators found it, the note, suspicious for many reasons.
I don't doubt that one bit.
Including the length of the fucking note. Yeah. It's fucking long.
Yeah.
And the specific amount of money that they asked for. Yeah. That means like 118,000. Not 120,000. 118,000.
And then also they wanted it in very specific notes as well. Like, yeah. What? Yeah.
An FBI special agent named Ron Walker quoted, "I've seen and worked a number of kidnappings for the FBI, and most of the notes are very short. They're very terse, very succinct, and they give very specific instructions, almost like bullet points. I've never seen a ransom kidnapping that asks for such a specific amount of money, $118,000. Later that afternoon, Detective Linda Arndt was surprised at the lack of communication from the kidnappers. She had stayed behind at the house in case they heard anything else from them. Detective Arndt suggested that they search the house again. That's when John Bennett found his daughter's body in the basement. Trigger warning. Obviously, John Bennett was a child. There's a lot of difficult details. John Bennett's arms were tied and pulled over her head. She had duct tape over her mouth and had been strangled with a nylon cord from a paintbrush. JonBenet's skull was fractured and she had been sexually assaulted. A quote from her father, John Ramsey, who found her, said, "I immediately knelt down over her, felt her cheek, took the tape immediately off her mouth. I tried to untie the cord that was around her arms and I couldn't get the knot untied." John then carried his daughter upstairs, hoping she was still alive, but as soon as Detective Arndt saw the man carrying his daughter, she knew that JonBenet was gone. With that, a missing persons case turned into a murder investigation.
So, many mistakes were made from the beginning of the case. For example, the Ramseys had a lot of people over to their home, moving things around and touching a lot of JonBenet's things, which potentially could have ruined evidence. Another mistake was John picking up his daughter and moving her from the scene. Even though, like, fair enough, it's a natural instinct for a parent to immediately go and grab their child when they're in danger. But that would have also compromised the crime scene and evidence taken. Basically contaminated the whole crime scene.
Yeah.
John and Patsy also weren't interviewed separately afterwards by police. All of their interviews were completed together. Obviously, an autopsy needed to be conducted to find out what exactly happened to JonBenet. And just a quick trigger warning. Her official cause of death was asphyxiation due to strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma and was classified as a homicide. Along with her mouth being covered with duct tape and her wrist being wrapped with white cord, JonBenet's torso had been covered with a white blanket. No semen was found on her body, but her vagina appeared to have been wiped clean, so there was no evidence of rape. However, County Coroner John Mayer found scraping and swelling of the child's vaginal area, as well as series of scrapes on the back of her right shoulder, left lower back, and left lower leg. This was enough to confirm that she had been sexually assaulted. Drops of blood were also found on her underwear from an unidentified man. The DNA was entered into the system in 2003, but no matches have been found. Mayer also found pineapple in her stomach. However, her parents had not given her pineapple the day or night before. There was a bowl of pineapple found in the kitchen, but neither of them had cut it and given it to JonBenet.
The biggest suspects in the case from the get-go were the Ramseys themselves. In fact, even though they were more suspects throughout the case, the media and most people focused on the Ramseys, utterly convinced that they were guilty. Even today, if someone mentions JonBenet Ramsey, at least one person in that room won't be able to hold back from saying it was the parents or it was the brother.
Which is literally what I was saying before we started recording this. I was like, it had to be someone in the family.
Not to say that it was definitely them, but a lot of things definitely made it seem like they were involved in some way, much like the Maddie McCann case. Mm-hmm. To start, JonBenet's body was found in her home, which indicates that a close family member was either involved or responsible for her death. Detective Aunt admitted that when she saw John carry his little girl up from the basement, one thought crossed her mind. John had murdered his daughter. A quote from Detective Aunt said, "I remember, and I wore a shoulder holster, tucking my gun right next to me, and consciously counting that I've got 18 bullets." Another thing that detectives found suspicious was that everything used in the kidnapping came from the Ramsey home. The pen and paper used to write the note, which was... an essay. Someone's going to take all that time writing on a pen and paper that they found in their house. If you're going to write an essay like that, you'd bring it with you, not write it
this
there.
This is the proof that they did it at the house.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it was using their belongings, so...
Yeah. Then the duct tape, even the murder weapon itself, came from a paintbrush in the Ramsey's home. Everything came from the Ramsey's home.
Yeah.
You're not going to show up with a plan to kill somebody and bring nothing with. Just hope you find, some stuff along the way.
Makes no sense.
The bowl with pineapple in it came from the Ramsey's home too, and had Burke's fingerprints on it. This didn't really count as any evidence though, because fingerprints can't be dated, so it could have just been a bowl that wasn't cleaned. John and Patsy insisted that Burke had spent the entire night in bed asleep. DNA also confirmed that a fiber of clothing extracted from the duct tape matched Patsy's clothes. Neither John nor Patsy wanted to be interviewed by police, which is strange given you'd want to do anything to find the monster that did this to your daughter.
100%.
They immediately got lawyers involved, which was a bit weird as well, and John was back to work within weeks.
Very suspicious.
You'd think you'd be distraught, not lawyering up and just heading back to work.
Yeah.
Like everything was all right.
That's very, very suspicious.
And all of that information obviously became public because it was a really high profile case. And it became difficult for people to believe that the Ramsey family didn't have something to do with it. In the media, John and Patsy were interviewed constantly, but their stories became inconsistent. The Ramseys maintained their innocence throughout the years of being accused of murdering their daughter. A lot of judgments were made on the family in the years following JonBenet's death, including their involvement of JonBenet in beauty pageants. Many believed it to be inappropriate, and some even see beauty pageants as sexualizing children, which is similar to what we were talking about earlier. We weren't saying that exactly, but
I can see how
people would feel that way. Yeah. John made many public statements insisting that the family were innocent and that JonBenet's involvement in pageants was just her and Patsy having fun. Some of the quotes from him were, "The police drew a conclusion immediately that day and then tried to find the evidence to prove it. And the evidence they were finding was, unfortunately for them, contradictory to their conclusion. I used to always tell JonBenet that it's your talent that counts. Don't worry if you're not always the prettiest. I did not kill my daughter. I will miss her dearly for the rest of my life." And a quote from Patsy, "I did not kill JonBenet. I did not have anything to do with it. I loved that child with the whole of my heart and soul." 3 months after JonBenet passed away, Detective Lou Smith joined the case and agreed that it seemed that Patsy Ramsey was responsible for the murder. However, he did notice some signs that there could have been an intruder in the Ramsey home that night. The basement had an open window and an unexplained high-tech footprint near JonBenet's body, and physical evidence that suggested someone had used a stun gun on her. This completely changed Smith's view on the case, and he started looking for suspects outside of the Ramsey family. A quote from him is, "It seemed as though the parents were probably involved. I thought this was going to be a fairly easy case. I thought it was a slam dunk. I'm not saying parents don't kill their kids. Parents do kill their children, but the Ramseys didn't do it." In December 1999, a grand jury in Boulder voted to indict John and Patsy for child abuse, knowingly putting their daughter in danger and a role played in her murder. However, Boulder District Attorney Alex Hunter decided to drop the case and not charge the couple, as there was not sufficient evidence to charge them.
After the trial, the Ramseys moved back to Atlanta, Georgia, to escape the media and conspiracies floating around them everywhere they went. John claimed to have lost his entire fortune since JonBenet's death, and the family released a memoir in 2001 called The Death of Innocence. And there hasn't been much about any of them in the media until Burke's Dr. Phil episode, which we're going to get into later. In 2006, Patsy passed away from ovarian cancer. That same year, District Attorney Mary Lacey took over the case, and she agreed that the Ramseys had nothing to do with JonBenet's death. With a new technology, Lacey was able to determine that DNA found on JonBenet was not matched with anyone in the Ramsey family. And a quote from Mary Lacey in 2008 was, "The Boulder District Attorney's Office does not consider any member of the Ramsey family, including John, Patsy, or Burke Ramsey, as suspects in this case. We make this announcement now because we have recently obtained this new scientific evidence that adds significantly to the exculpatory value of the previous scientific evidence. We do so with full appreciation for the other evidence in this case. Local, national, and even international publicity has focused on the murder of JonBenet Ramsey. Many members of the public came to believe that one or more of the Ramseys, including her mother or her father, or even her brother, were responsible for this brutal homicide. Those suspicions were not based on evidence that had been tested in court. Rather, they were based on evidence reported by the media."
Burke Ramsey was silent for 20 years when it came to discussing the tragic death of his little sister, JonBenet. This was until he appeared on the Dr. Phil show in 2016. The entire theory of how and why the Ramseys would kill JonBenet is that Burke had got up in the middle of the night and prepared himself some pineapple. When JonBenet woke up that night, she took some from the bowl. Out of anger, Burke raised a flashlight to JonBenet and hit her over the head, waking John and Patsy. The theory goes on to say that Burke had killed JonBenet and they staged the murder scene to protect their son. When Dr. Phil questioned Burke about this, viewers were unnerved at his strange behaviour. Burke can be seen smiling and even giggling at points throughout the Dr. Phil special. However, Dr. Phil jumped to Burke's defence when he saw some of the harsh comments online, stating, "This is anxiety. He's socially uncomfortable. I've seen it a lot. He's not autistic, he's not weird, he's not creepy, he's just nervous. This is a young man that has grown up in a kind of a siege mentality. I've spent a lot of time with him over the last several months. You have to understand, when this happened, he was plucked out because the media was all over them. Even with the discomfort, Burke wanted to do this."
Even though the family were the main focus throughout the course, there were other suspects that police did look into, including a sex offender named Gary Olicia, who admitted to a friend that he had hurt a little girl shortly after the death of JonBenet Ramsey. The friend obviously called the police and he became a suspect. However, DNA evidence cleared him of the case. Another suspect that shocked people was actually the Ramsey's housekeeper, Linda Hoffman Pugh. When speaking with police, Patsy mentioned that Linda had asked the Ramseys for a loan of several thousand dollars after seeing a pay stub belonging to John. Linda also had access to a key to the home and each of the family members scheduled, making it easy for her to know the family's moments of vulnerability. However, Pugh had an airtight alibi and was sleeping at home at the time of the murder. She was never officially named as a suspect in the case, but publicly she was. One of the most famous suspects in the case was paedophile John Mark Carr, who actually confessed to murdering JonBenet Ramsey in 2006. Carr stated that he killed her in a love game gone awry and admitted that he had drugged and sexually assaulted her. However, no drugs were found in JonBenet's system at the time of the autopsy, and none of the DNA evidence matched Carr. Carr was a troubled man who had been assumed dead after child pornography was found on his computer in 2001. He had fled to Thailand and no one heard from him again until 2006. A lot of theorists believed that Carr only confessed to the murder to get his name on the case. However, he stated that his account of events corroborated with physical evidence withheld from the public by the coroner and law enforcement from 1996 to 2006. No one really knows why he would admit to a crime he didn't commit, but Carr is now a woman named Alexis Reach. She had a sex change, which she claims killed her sex drive, Other suspects have ranged from a local electrician who was reportedly involved in a property dispute with the Ramseys to the local town Santa, who allegedly chose Ramsey to be his, quote, special friend.
Wow.
So there was some quite strange
suspects in there. Sure. I mean, look, do you know what? Fair play to them for suspecting other people, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah.
I feel like it was probably someone that knew
the property or
knew the family. Because, like, as well, like, they said no forced entry, but there was already a broken window in the basement that never got fixed. Like, it was already broken beforehand.
Yeah. What I don't get as well, see, with the ransom note.
Yeah.
The way it was all like, oh, we need this money or else she dies, but she was already dead. Like, that makes no sense in itself.
And I don't... No, if we said it, but that amount of money...
Why would
money,
you kill someone and just leave them in the house?
You know the 118,000, that was the exact same amount as a bonus that John Ramsey had received.
For
it
work.
Was his Christmas bonus.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's someone that was close to the family, because how else would they have known how much it got for... Christmas bonus.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, if somebody did come in over, and I know fair enough they're saying that she could have been stunned, right, with a stun gun or whatever, but like, surely a little girl would scream. Make so, like, the house is full of people. How did nobody hear this girl being assaulted and murdered? In 2010, the case was officially reopened and DNA testing had been revisited as it had evolved over the years. Recently, new evidence has been tested, and along with old evidence, a full report of DNA testing completed has been issued to the authorities with the hope that the case could finally be solved. There is also the possibility that the DNA collected may belong to two separate people, so even years later, advancements are being made in the case. And Burke and John wait patiently for justice for JonBenet. Burke won a lawsuit against CBS worth $750 million after they released a documentary basically blaming him for JonBenet's death. Quotes from John Ramsey in 2021 are, "The death of JonBenet took away my desire to live for a while. The actions of the police took away my ability to live normally, and that, to some extent, continued for a long time in the way we were treated and assaulted. We know there's evidence that was taken from the crime scene that was never tested for DNA. Here are a few cutting edge labs that have the latest technology. That's where the testing ought to be done, and then use the public genealogy database and with whatever information we get to research and basically do a backwards family tree, which has been widely successful in solving some very old cases. Today, John Ramsey's life is very different from how it was before JonBenet's murder. He lost his fortune, though he settled a defamation suit worth $80 million with the Boulder Police Department, many of his family, friends, and his reputation." I mean, it sounds like he didn't... Well, fair enough, he lost his fortune, but I mean, he... $750 million and then $80 million.
Yeah, I think it's fine financially.
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing grand. He still has a lot more than I probably ever will in my lifetime, but...
All of us combined ever.
Probably us and all our viewers combined, our listeners combined. Won't even make up that amount of money. In 2021, Boulder Police said they had interviewed more than 1,000 people in 19 different states as part of their ongoing investigation. Apparently there are more now, so the case is still ongoing after 27 years.
And that's the case of JonBenet Ramsey.
So who knows what's going to happen?
I mean, the case is older than me, and it's still ongoing, and they're still getting new evidence.
So the case literally happened like a few months before I was born.
Yeah.
I was alive.
I really don't know.
I was like nearly the same age as her.
Oh my God, that's scary.
That is.
I wasn't 5, I was 4. I can't do maths right now.
Still. But
it's been a long day.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think, because I used to think it was the family, but there's evidence proving that there was other DNA there, so...
But see, I don't know, because your man fucked up all the evidence in any way, so I don't really trust that either now, you
and
know?
And then again, I'm not sure if she was wearing the clothes that she wore to that party, but if she was, she was a kid and it was a family party, so she's probably hugging people and...
Yeah.
Stuff, so I'm like, I don't know.
I feel like even if there was DNA evidence, right, and it was, say, one of the I still find it suspicious. I still find the way John picked her up and stuff and just moved her. Like, come on, I get it, but I mean, you should know better
as well. You should know not
well.
To, yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, I'm not being funny, but, like, why didn't the police check the basement? Why didn't they search the house properly?
I have no idea.
Like, they found her, like, that evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But apparently, I think the family had said they searched the house. So I think
yeah,
the police...
Yeah, but why would you take their word for it? You think this is suspects?
True, yeah.
Where's the... Grant.
Grant has already
checked. She did the job for us.
So when did they find her body then?
It was like that evening when they didn't get the call. They were waiting for the call from the ransomers.
So then they were like, oh, let's actually check again.
Yeah, that was literally it. She was like, oh, maybe you should check again. And sent him to check.
Yeah.
And then he was like, my daughter's in the basement. And he started carrying her
upstairs.
Contaminating, just fucking up this whole case. Nah.
I don't know. The whole thing just makes no sense from the minute that Patsy Ramsay woke up on the 26th of December. None of it made sense from the ransom letter to none of it.
The pineapple, just none of it.
I don't know what the obsession is with the pineapple. Like, fuck's sake, kids get up and eat shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people might have thought it might have been a link to...
No, I think it was something to do with the pineapple being cut up as well. They were saying, like, could she have got up and...
She wouldn't have done that,
I don't even think me at, like, 27 years of age almost can cut up
pineapple. They were sure. They were stretching with a theory with Burke. They were like,
I don't know, my gut feeling.
She took some pineapple and he got angry and hit her over the head with a torch. That's a stretch. Maybe he got up in the night, he got the pineapple out the fridge, she came down, she's like, oh, I'm hungry too. They shared a little snacky snack and went to bed.
Yeah.
And then whatever happened.
Whatever happened
to her.
Yeah.
Was there not a whole thing as well with Burke? Now I could be completely confused as under a case, so correct me if I'm wrong. But if I remember correctly with the documentary and stuff, like, one of the reasons was because obviously JonBenet was getting all this fame and glory. She was a pageant girl and blah, 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 and Mammy's pride and joy and all. And Burke was, like, hella jealous. And I think that was why people were saying that he could have fucked
I think that was
killed
a theory,
her. Like
yeah.
A sibling jealousy type thing. I think that was something that people were talking
there was,
about.
There's loads of theories. About the brother alone, there's loads of theories.
That's because the case is just so
It was
crazy.
Very much a trial by media.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think if you could find somebody who didn't know anything about the case at all, never heard anything about it, and just showed them the facts, maybe they could figure it out.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody's head is so polluted with what was in the media and what we actually know, and everybody just has all these theories. And
people really got involved, though. Like, even the whole thing with the whole pageantry, right? And, like, I know that we kind of touched on our own kind of thoughts and opinions on that and stuff. But people, like, really went down the hole of, I remember it was like, oh, like, somebody, there was, like, a paedophile or something who fought. Like, she had a stalker or something from, somebody became obsessed with her from her pageants, and it was, like, this... crazy fan stalker that did it and stuff, like, the theories were wild.
Some of them are way out there.
Yeah
Under our little comment section, instead of just saying
what do you think
of this episode, we'll put what's your theory on JonBenet, because we do want to hear what other people think. Or if you don't want to post there, you can always email us and message us. But until next time,
bye.